Hello, I'm Jay Norton, Soils Extension Specialist with the University of Wyoming Department of Ecosystem Sciences and Management. Today I'm going to talk about urea volatilization mainly, how to avoid it as a way to save money, save fertilizer, protect the environment, and increase yields because more nitrogen gets to the crop where you want it. I'm going to go over the nitrogen cycle and some loss pathways. I'm going to talk about sources of nitrogen and their potential for loss. I'm going to talk mainly about ammonia volatilization and management guidelines that minimize losses. So when we talk about let me get my pen here. This is a complicated version of the nitrogen cycle, but it's a complicated nutrient cycle, probably the most complicated one of the nutrients that are essential for crop growth. Essentially, what we want to see happen is kind of an internal nitrogen cycle. Crop uptake occurs from these soluble forms, nitrate and ammonium in the soil solution. So it takes water and soluble nitrate nutrients for plants to take up. Those come from several different sources, and they're taken up by microbes in the soil organic matter pool. That mineralizes to become ammonia and nitrate, and that goes into the soil solution. Then it can be re-immobilized by soil microbes and conserved that way, and we have this internal nitrogen cycle. And of course, we want it to be taken up by plants, and then those residues go back into the pool. So ideally, we get a cycle like that. Now, let me see if I can... What we're going to talk about mainly today is fertilizer inputs. So shortcutting that and putting fertilizer directly into the available nitrogen pool. And from there, it can either be taken up by our crops, which means we're in the black, we make money. It can go to our, and other ways out of that cycle I was talking about is it can be volatilized. Ammonium can be volatilized to the gas ammonia and lost to the atmosphere. It can also, nitrate can be lost via leaching or denitrification. In Wyoming, with our conditions, ammonia volatilization is probably the more important loss pathway. So I'm going to focus on those given the time we have. So those represent big money losses, and ammonia is also a creator of smog. It's one of the drivers of smog along the Front Range, for example. Denitrification emits nitrous oxide, N2O, which is a powerful greenhouse gas. So these are not only losses of money to producers, but they're important environmental degradation factors. So ammonium can be lost through volatilization. It can be fixed to soil particles and then eroded away. And it can be nitrified through this process to become nitrate and then lost through denitrification and leaching. So we're going to focus mainly on the volatilization pathway today. Let me... So the types of N fertilizer, the Haber-Bosch N fixation process was developed after World War II or during World War II to make bombs, and then became an important, very important chemical reaction for industrial production of fertilizer. And the ultimate product there, it takes, high heat, high pressure, and in the presence of a catalyst, to pull dinitrogen gas out of the air, which is an inert gas, combined with hydrogen from natural gas. So it's very consumptive of natural gas and very a high producer of carbon dioxide. It's one of the industrial chemical reactions that produces the most carbon dioxide. But the ultimate product is ammonia, which is a gas, and all these other forms of fertilizers are made from those. And in a lot of places, in a lot of crop production areas, ammonia is injected straight into the ground as a gas, and you know that has a lot of hazards. It's a hazardous material to work with, and it can be lost. You know, careful management is necessary, but it's the highest analysis. It has contains the most actual nitrogen of these other forms. Not so much of that is used in Wyoming, I think mainly because of our higher pH soils that contribute to more loss of that, and I'll be talking about that. So then there's these other forms. The main ones I'm going to talk about are the ones that are used in Wyoming. Ammonium phosphate. These are common phosphorus fertilizers that also contain nitrogen as ammonium. So volatilization occurs with those too. The most common ones used in Wyoming, I think, are ammonium sulfate, urea. Urea is probably the most common dry fertilizer used all over the world because it's got a relatively high analysis, 46% nitrogen, and it's easy to ship and easy to work with, relatively so. But we'll see. I'll be talking about the disadvantage. And then UAN, either 28 or 32% nitrogen, is another common liquid form of nitrogen fertilizer. So ammonia volatilization occurs with any ammonia or ammonium-based fertilizer. So all of those, really. High pH or a high hydroxyl concentration increases volatilization. So most of our soils are alkaline, pH above 7, so that's going to drive more volatilization from Wyoming soils right there. It happens when we get ammonium plus hydroxyl ions, which occur in higher pH above 7, and creating ammonia gas and water. So the ammonia gas is lost to the atmosphere, and that's ammonia volatilization. The other loss pathways are denitrification, which occurs mostly in saturated soils or in saturated microsites, but also as a result of the nitrification process from ammonium to nitrate. Significant losses occur when too much nitrogen is applied. So we get a lot of nitrification, which leads to a lot of nitrate, and denitrification occurs when that sits there and is exposed to anoxic conditions or saturated conditions, even in microsites, not necessarily in ponded conditions. Leaching isn't so important isn't as important in the West, where we get less than about 17 centimeters of rain, than it is in the Midwest and the East, where water from rain actually moves below the rooting zone. In the West, except in the mountains, water typically doesn't penetrate that far unless we're over-irrigating. So over-application of both fertilizer and water can lead to leaching. But that's all I'm going to say about those processes right now. So comparing these different products and the potential volatilization loss, comparing those with the urea, because urea is really the worst as far as potential volatilization. Ammonium nitrate or ammonium sulfate is the main one, has lower potential volatilization. UAN has lower volatilization potential. And then if you use agritane or this MBPT urease inhibitor, and I'll talk about what that means, that reduces volatilization. Other kinds of soil conditioners or products you mix with the fertilizer controlled release fertilizers, like coated, polymer coated fertilizers, are meant to slow down the release and reduce volatilization and losses. So urea volatilization, if we're not careful, we can lose half or more of fertilizer that's applied, of nitrogen fertilizer that's applied to volatilization. Urea, this is a formula for urea. It's not an ammonia-based fertilizer. So why are we talking about urea? Why is it bad? Well, it's also not plant available in this form. It's a synthetic fertilizer made by the processes we talked about, but it's a synthetic, simple organic molecule when you put it on the soil. So it has to be hydrolyzed to form ammonium before plants can take it up. And there's two stages for this. First, urea plus water yields ammonium plus carbonate. And that carbonate mixes with water and creates these hydroxyls. So it consumes hydrogen ions and creates hydroxyl ions, both of which increase the pH in the soil right around that prill, especially. We can get drastic increases of pH right around that prill. And it's temporary, but it drives volatilization. So those hydroxyl ions are going to drive off that ammonium, convert that ammonium to ammonia gas, which is lost to the atmosphere. So it's kind of a vicious cycle, and that hydrolysis of urea is increasing pH temporarily in that microsite is what really makes urea high risk for volatilization, more so than the other products. So what are those right conditions? Moisture is one of the most important factors. A little bit, but not a lot, is necessary for these reactions. And if we have wet conditions, the ammonium is going to stay in solution and be available for that process of volatilization. Wind is a driver of volatilization. Alkaline soils, so strike one against Wyoming, strike two, right? Wind and a little moisture, but not a lot. Those are all Wyoming conditions. Temperature, higher soil temperatures increase reaction rates. Or putting the fertilizer on frozen soils has been found to keep the fertilizer on the surface. And they've done a lot of work on that in Montana, because we thought that applying urea to under cold conditions, it would just sit there, but it doesn't. A lot is lost. And incidentally, I owe a lot of this presentation to my colleague, Clayne Jones at Montana State University. And him and his colleague, Rick Engel, have done a lot of work on this. Surface residues, so no-till, or minimum till conditions, or sod or pasture conditions with plant materials on the surface, that material harbors the urease enzyme, which is necessary to drive that hydrolysis reaction of urea. So low buffering or cation exchange capacity. With low cation exchange capacity, that ammonium stays in solution. It's a cation, so it has a tendency to be sorbed to cation exchange sites, negatively charged particles, which holds it and exchanges it, makes it slowly available for plant uptake. But with a low cation exchange capacity, it'll stay in solution and spend a longer time being vulnerable to volatilization. What's a soil property that drives higher cation exchange capacity or this ability to sorb and release nutrients? Well, clay, the types of clays we have in Wyoming have a good cation exchange capacity. But another substance that has a very high cation exchange capacity and is really affected by management is soil organic matter, which is also an important indicator of soil health. So soil health management to increase soil organic matter is going to be one of the things that reduces volatilization potential of urea fertilizers. And also time. The longer time between application and plant uptake, the longer that material sits there, the more time there is for these reactions and losses, even at low temperatures. So there's a lot of factors that make this really hard to predict. But really, as I'll talk about, not that hard to prevent with some short and long-term management. So I'm going to talk about each of these factors a little more. Data from this study and a lot of others show that, you know, the loss, this is a loss of applied N, you know, up to 30% of applied N can be lost if soil moisture is over 30% or so. 20 to 23%, that's about field capacity. So you really don't want it to be much wetter than field capacity at that surface. So if you apply it and it rains a little bit, that's going to be a big problem. The worst case is broadcasting on a moist surface, and it's followed by, you know, light scattered precipitation. This is that study in Montana where they devised these instruments to capture ammonia. And in just 6 days, they lost 10%, even under these obviously chilly conditions. So rainfall or irrigation, you don't want to apply urea to the surface unless you can get it below the surface. And one way to do that is irrigation. Irrigating a half an inch or more will move that at least 2 inches below the soil surface and really reduce volatilization losses. A quarter inch or less will dissolve the fertilizer and then drive those reactions that cause loss of N as ammonia. So wind, if it's going to be windy, just, you know, wait until for a calmer day, because wind will really drive that ammonia loss rapidly. Soil pH and temperature combined. So here we have two different temperatures, 35 degrees and 77 degrees across the range of pHs in an experiment. And the amount of ammonia generated is what this shows. Increases drastically when you get above pH 8, which is where a lot of our agricultural soils are over pH 8 somewhere, below 9 but above 8. But the other factor is that, as we talked about, urea hydrolysis increases pH in that zone around that prill and can increase it drastically. So even at low temperatures, you can get up, you know, in pH 9 or 10 temporarily around that prill, which is going to drive volatilization. Stubble. So if you're doing no-till, you got to get it below the stubble. Residues on the surface, even if you try to water it in, it's going to absorb a lot of the water, make it hard to move that material into the soil. The residues have a higher pH, so that's going to drive more volatilization. And the residues harbor the urease enzyme, which is necessary for hydrolysis of urea, which then releases the ammonium, which is vulnerable to loss as ammonia. Just broadcasting urea on the surface will get twice the volatilization that we do with conventional tillage. Cation exchange capacity. So this is something we have control over. Soil health management practices to conserve or increase soil organic matter content. If you know me, you've heard me talk about this until you're probably tired of it, but I'm going to keep talking about it. So here we have organic carbon, or I put this soil organic matter content below here, and the cation exchange capacity, or the amount of positively charged nutrients, including ammonium, that soil can hold and release increases drastically. So this is a very important soil property. And most of our soils are in the area of 2% or less organic matter, but you can see if we can get it up to 2, we can double the cation exchange capacity, which is going to lower the risk of volatilization. Now, here's a twist. High soil calcium content can decrease urea volatilization. So instead of this two-step reaction here, when we have soluble dissolved calcium in the soil water, if we get urea plus water plus calcium, we get this reaction instead. So we don't have that free carbonate ion that's going to generate hydroxyl and increase the pH. Instead, the calcium combines with that carbonate ion to form calcium carbonate. And reducing that pH increase and slowing volatilization. So the other thing that's going to do is free up a site on the cation exchange for adsorption of that ammonium cation. But the thing is, so it is something positive about our calcareous soils that we like to complain about, because they bind phosphorus and they turn hard as cement when they dry out. But this is something positive about the high calcium in our soils. But the catch is, you got to get the urea in the soil for that reaction to take place with calcium. So there again, it has to get into the soil. That research in Montana, they found anywhere from 3% to 44% of urea that was put on in the fall and winter was lost to volatilization. So the idea that you can put it on in cold conditions and just let it sit there is a myth. A lot of it's going to be lost. And here we see N, nitrogen and dollars, flying away. So the other fertilizer, ammonium sulfate, has a lower volatilization rate, but in calcareous soils, now back again to disadvantage, it can be higher, because this isn't a balanced equation, but that sulfate is going to combine with the calcium and calcium carbonate, freeing up that carbonate ion to generate hydroxyl and increase the pH. So we end up with some gypsum, some ammonium, and an increase in pH. Okay, so the liquid form, urea ammonium nitrate, 28% or 32% nitrogen, that's very commonly used in Wyoming. The volatilization risk is less, but it's still significant under those right conditions. Part of the reason it's less is a quarter of that nitrogen in that substance is nitrate, which doesn't volatilize, but it can be lost through leaching and denitrification, as I talked about. So both urea and UAN are going to require, and ammonium sulfate, are going to require proper management to avoid volatilization. So really, you want to consider the price and the kind of equipment and other considerations, maybe more so than volatilization risk, because you're going to have to do the right kind of management to minimize those losses no matter what. So getting it below the soil, this just shows some data with irrigation. If we get up to that half inch, the percent of applied N that's lost gets down to around zero. With incorporation with tillage, we get it down to that 3-inch depth at least. That's going to minimize the loss of applied N to volatilization. Okay, the timing. It's always best to apply fertilizer, especially nitrogen, because it has so many ways to be lost, even through weed uptake. It's always best to apply it close to the peak uptake by crops, which is, around early flowering in June, usually around Wyoming for most crops. But in this case, soil texture and weather conditions might be even more important. So if you're dealing with shallow, coarse soils where volatilization rates can be very high, then you want to apply it in the spring as close as possible to crop uptake. But how about cool temperatures in the fall, and you have the ability to irrigate it in, and then you know that things are really going to warm up before irrigation becomes available in the spring? Well, then you might want to apply it in the fall and irrigate it in. So there's a lot of things to consider like that. Those are just some examples of different scenarios. There are products that inhibit the hydrolysis of urea by inhibiting that the activity of that urease enzyme, this NBPT contained in the product called agritane. Really does a good job, as you can see here, days after application, agritane can really reduce the loss to volatilization. There's a lot of other slow and low release and controlled release nitrogen products like coated urea products. So in summary, ammonia volatilization can be very costly in terms of lost and lower yields and air pollution. It's a smog producer. There's a lot of factors that contribute, and a lot of these can be controlled with good management. Soil health management practices that increase soil organic matter. Now, one of those is no-till, right? And reduce disturbance. So you got to consider getting the urea below the residue in that situation. But anything that increases the cation exchange by increasing soil organic matter content is going to reduce volatilization risk. Placement below the surface by tilling or banding to at least 3 inches, or by irrigating with at least a half an inch of water, is going to drastically reduce volatilization. And then considering these urease inhibitors or other products, but those cost a lot and can increase, you know, the cost by $6 an acre or more. So those should really only be considered if for some reason you have to apply urea under high risk conditions and you can't do those other management practices. So thanks very much. I look forward to any discussion and questions about this presentation. Thank you.